I know that you all heard the phrase dark night of the soul. And I suspect you all have a very different interpretation of what that is. I think most of us think of it as a personal journey, an arrival at a place that is test, dark, difficult. And that is what it is. It's something one moves through. It's rarely presented as an end game. It's really something that arises almost to test your capacity, to strengthen you, to make you work harder and deeper. But there are times where dark night of the soul is really collective, universal, worldwide. And clearly, you don't need me to tell you that we're all experiencing it. We're all going through it together. Especially, this is the holiday season. Christmas is a few days away, 5 days away. Christmas, which is the birth of a new light to the world, hope, possibility, transformation. A doorway to eternal. And also, someone, Arkady, actually told me today, and I looked it up online, and there's a lot of conflict about it, but some people say the birth of the Aquarian age is tomorrow night or tomorrow. That's a big note for a dark night, a complete moment of transformation. Moving into not just a different day, but a different epic, a whole new life, a whole new world arising for all of us. And the more you are willing to open up to the significance of Christmas, the significance of the Aquarian age, the possibility of newness and transformation and uplift and alteration and growth and all the optimistic positivities that come out of dark nights, if you can open to that. And all these forces really are at work in the world right now. Tap in. Tap into that. A lot of people are going to be suffering. A lot of people are going to be going through the pain of isolated holidays, loss of separation, of disappointment. And part of us needs to be, I think, profoundly empathetic to everyone who's suffering. But to hold in mind, or to hold in your heart or your awareness, the idea that we are on the birth, on the cutting edge of a whole new light entering the world, the age of Aquarius. Just listen to the musical hair. This is the dawning. We're doing it. And again, astrologers disagree, so those who are astrologers, don't hold me to account here. But it is an opportunity to quietly sit down in the darkest of times, truly, for us as a culture, for us as a society, for us as a world. In the deep darkness of that, sit down, go deep, and recognize, if you can, that somewhere within you, there is a light that is not even personal. It is part of the collection, the collective, the whole of our being, of our universal being, but that light is really shining. That light came into the world on Christmas 2000, however many years ago, and has been in the world through many other teachers, through many other saints who have gifted us that clarity, Rudy among them, Nityananda, so many great teachers who have come in the world with the light. And we, however we have self-selected, I don't know how we've done that, but we have all become seekers of that light. We have all chosen in this lifetime not just to get money and wealth and fame, get laid and get all the things we think we're going to get out of life, but for some reason we've all tripped the switch that says light, internal, eternal, is meaningful. And we've all begun a journey to that. Everyone who's sitting here, everyone who's listening to this talk has begun that journey, and it is a transformative journey, and it is the journey that one can utilize, especially in the midst of a dark night of the soul. When it gets really blackened out there, and when there looks like there's no hope and things are converging, and I know, just like every newspaper and television show you watched will tell you, that we're in for a really awful winter. There's a real truth to that. This is not an easy time. It's not an easy passage for the mass of men. But you have selected yourselves to become beacons of light in a dark night. You can be people who carry that light through acts of goodness, kindness, and compassion to others, and be a gift to the world when it is suffering. You can go out and be on a soup kitchen if you want to do that kind of activity, although some of us have challenges in terms of being out and exposed in a pandemic situation. But if you aren't able to be in the social fabric, find a mechanism, find a way to be the light for others. That can mean simple things. Christmas greetings. Christmas greetings. Take the time and reach out to people. Send them an email, send them a card, send them a note, and tell them that you love them. A lot of us in this room, in this space, do not do a good job of that for whatever reason. And all I can tell you is the lesson that I learned over Thanksgiving, which I repeated to everybody, was when one person reached out of the entirety of our class, said, "Happy Thanksgiving." And I went, "Oh my God, why have I failed to do that myself?" And it was just a wake-up call, and I didn't use it as a punny moment. I just sat down and wrote a love letter, if you will, or a thank you, or a Thanksgiving note to anybody I cared about. It was so simple. It was a reaching. It is from a very static place in a very, very locked-in, isolated world. I reached out to people I love, which, of course, is you, and more. And all I'm trying to say is, let's learn from that. If you are the light, be it. And if you can shed the light, and if you can help people in the dark night of the soul, that would be a great gift. And you don't have to talk to the world. You don't have to talk to multitudes. Just talk to them. You know, give a gift to the mailman. Give a gift to, we got a newspaper, so we give gifts to our newspaper person. All of those little simple gestures are meaningful, even just notes of thank you. You don't have to impart cash if you don't have it. What you can give, and it's appreciated really in a great depth. And so much of this whole spiritual practice that we have is not abstraction. It's not just sitting and being comfortable and being a feeling of, oh, I'm so flooded with contentment and joy and bliss. I mean, that's fine. And if you get to that stage, great. But it's meant for you. You're not the person to get that. The person who finally gets that is the person who gets out of the way and realizes that there is nothing around you but love and beauty and contentment. And the you that wants it is the problem. The you that holds it or hoards it or says it's for me, that's the problem. And what I've been teaching you for God knows how long, but more and more in recent time, let go of the thing that hoards the contentment, that hoards the bliss for yourself, that makes you happy. Share it. If you have it, give it away. The more you give it away, the more you open, the more you allow this light to be broadcast out of the world, the more you serve it. And the more you serve it, the more it utilizes you to do that, because it knows you are a capacitator. You are that which makes it possible. You help this light of the world get shown everywhere. And it may be that at this very moment in time, you need people to give you the light. It may be right at this moment, you are in the dark night of the soul. And let me tell you, if that's the case, do not be afraid to ask for help. Do not be afraid to reach out to someone and say, I'm having a hard time. Open yourself, be vulnerable. And if you don't know where to go with that request or that statement, I make myself available. You can come to me and I will do everything in my power to love you, to bring light to you, and to let you know how valuable you are, because none of you are anything less than truly valuable to this being. We have to find a way to act on the spiritual dimension that fills our lives or trickles into our lives, whatever it's doing in your life. We have to find a way. It can really so flood your life that you won't even know you're in it. It will just be life itself. And when that starts to happen, it is kind of everything you ever dreamt of, but in ways that you didn't dream of. I gave a talk last week about how I go from love to terror in a second. And what I have really come to understand as part of my own journey is that yin and yang don't work always in this slow, balanced form. They often operate in instantaneous movement, so that creation and destruction are not, you know, beginning of life, end of life with some 40 to 80 years in between, but they're happening continually, every second. And for the first time in my life, I am living with the birth of beauty, joy, goodness, wonder, awe, and the absolute impermanence of that and the loss of it almost instantaneously. Never experienced anything like that. I don't tell you that is the experience of, you know, waking up, but I will tell you it is an experience that is happening that is profound, because you have this amazing investment in the beauty of the world and then the stark reality that it's all taken away. But it's not taken away just at the end of your life. It's taken away the second it comes to being, but we don't recognize it that way. We see it as continuum. We see the next moment and the next moment and the next moment and the next moment. But truly, the moment you just had has been completely eviscerated. And the moment that comes into being is completely new and completely alive in all of the quality of what it means to be alive. And so luckily, we relate to that. But when you start to wake up, you see it's all coming and going. And then you have to deal with the emotional reality of that, the starkness of that, the fact that nothing stays. And there's a part of you that then starts to learn to go, okay, so be it. Yes, that is the journey of the spiritual being. We are learning and learning and learning. I haven't found an endpoint. I don't know where it ends, but I do know that it gets bigger and bigger and bigger. and that our job is to embrace this so deeply. And if you want an opportunity to really dig in, you found it. This is it. This pandemic moment, this stop everything and sit still, this reality that's affecting every one of us so powerfully right now, this is that moment. It is, if you will, the dark night of the soul. So use well to go through that tunnel and find and dig and work yourself inside to a place where you really do start to discover the light. The light that comes at the birth of the dawn of creation and of being, the light that is the foundational reality that comes every second. It just comes, and it will come forever, or so we're told, and so I sense. Even when the final light goes out, newness, bright light, joy, eternal being. Am I right? Am I wrong? We'll find out. But I will tell you the experience now, day to day, is every moment that ends starts over. Continue moment to moment to moment to moment. And that if you're caught up in holding on to one or feeling the loss of the other, you will be in a chaotic state. But if you just relax, say, "Thy will be done," then you will have an exquisite awareness of how life forms itself and deconstructs itself all the time. If you are in a really painful period, and some of you may be, and if you have a lot of what Rudy would call negative psychic tension, if that's what's happening in your life, Rudy gave us an exercise, and I'm going to give it to you just as a tool, because you may need it or you may be able to offer it to other people. And it's very simple. The really simple version is you let your hands dangle down by the side of your body and you just let them free themselves there and dangle. And then you take a breath into your heart and you hold it. And then you ask inside to surrender, which is the core of our exercise. But then you add the words negative. And he said you had to say negative, psychic tension. And he often added, "and congestion." Please help me to surrender negative psychic tension and congestion. And you just sit there with your hands dangling. And he said you would feel this tension coming out of the top of your head, your forehead, your temples, your cheeks, your jaws, your neck. You would go into your arms, your whole upper chest. You would go down your arms, down all the way past your elbows to your wrists, and then out your fingers. And you will feel this lightness starting to come into you as this heavy, weighted negativity, negative psychic tension and congestion washes out. It really is liberating. It really helps. It's just a good exercise. And I will throw in one that he gave us on rare occasions, which is another version of that exercise, in which you really reach up for help. You reach up as high as you can reach. You do the same exercise. Please help me to surrender negative psychic tension and congestion. And you will feel an energy coming into the palms of your hands and going down into your arms, into your shoulders. And then you take your hands and lower them to the ground again and let all of that go away. It's a little bit, he said, like an enema. It's like taking extra stuff in to get rid of all the congestion. You can do that. You can do that. These are two tools, or it's one tool with a really bigger ask, but both of them can help you if you're going through a really dark time. If you're sitting on Christmas Eve or Christmas Day all by yourself and you are suffering aloneness and sadness and despair or whatever might be rising up, first of all, two things. One, you're not alone. Two, it's often a cosmic event, and this time of year it is around us everywhere. It is happening universally, so it may not be yours alone. It may not even be yours. But if you can allow yourself to witness without taking it personally, that's great. If you can't and it becomes part of your experience of the day and can't bear it, ask for help to surrender negative psychic tension, which is your attachment to the negative. your attachment to feeling miserable, your attachment to, how did I get into this world? It's all that crap. You've got to let that go and just get rid of it and get rid of it and get rid of it until you can sit there quietly and at peace and realize I'm alive. I am alive. Today is a real day. There is some sweetness and joy in my heart. And if you're not feeling it, reach out, write me if you want, call me, reach to others, go to where you need to go for love and just say, please help me, please help me. Or if you're capable, reach out to others and offer your heart, offer your love, offer your compassion, because that's our work as spiritual beings, not just to sit here and bask in the glow and the light of spiritual awakening. It's not enough. We are here in the real world with real demands and real action and real activity, and we need to function in the world. People who do spiritual work to get out of the world are missing the point. It's not a release from the world. It is a way into life, into being. It's learning how to be alive with great consciousness, with great love, with great energy, with great compassion, with kindness and goodness available to share, and an awareness when you need to ask somebody else to help you. That's what we're doing here. And if we all do this and we keep practicing, again, you don't have to save the world, just save the whole part of the world that happens to exist around you. That's the work. The dark night of the soul is a real journey. The world is on that journey. But if the Aquarian Age is dawning tomorrow night, and God knows astrologically if that's true, what a sweet idea. The beginning of a new age happening tomorrow. Changing the world as we know it, changing life as we know it. Be part of the change. Be the thing inside you that it reaches for and allows for something new, something remarkable to take place. And you can do that. If you can find the capacity in yourself to reach that space, you will be a gift to yourself. You will be a gift to the world. And if you want something to open on Christmas morning that is really the best gift imaginable, open to yourself. Open to yourself. You are the gift to yourself. You are that which I've always sought and always wanted. Nothing could be better under the tree than your own being. So, Merry Christmas to all of you. I really, really love you guys. I thank you for showing up here. And I really do wish you all the warmest, brightest, happiest good wishes for Christmas and the new year. And we'll decide next year whether we'll meet every other week or just two times contiguously during the month. I will let you know. But again, thank you. Thank you for showing up today. I love you all. I always forget to ask if anybody has questions. Blanche asked me to remind, wanted me to remind myself. So does anyone have any questions? You'll have to unmute yourself if you want to ask.
Bruce. Yeah.
George.
If I recall, Rudy on occasion would say, surrender all negative psychic tensions and negative psychic blocks.
I don't remember it that way, George, but that works. Mm-hmm. It works. I mean, mostly we hold on to these patterns, you know, and then we don't acknowledge them. And if by asking to get rid of them, what happens is we're aware of them. And then we start to feel stuff move through the system. There really is a draining of the idea of that stuff. It has a real place to go, and it just goes in the atmosphere and it frees you. And so however you say it, you know, use it. I mean, at this point, all these years after after Rudy's passing, we all have different interpretations of what he taught and what he said and how he said it. And it's going to be like that. You can only imagine religions that are 2,000 years old, how far they get from the reality of the teaching. But we do our best. I do think the exercise itself is more important than the actual words we speak. But I do think we'll do the exercise if you need it. It's a big help. Anybody else? Charlene, is your hand up? Are you, no? Okay. Yes, sir. Mr. Feldman.
Hey, Bruce, just one question. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well, thank you. Thank you. I mean, physically, in my voice, you can tell, breaks up a little bit, but I do these exercises twice a day to get it back to something normal, and it's almost there. And I do all these physical exercises, and I have a nerve medication that gets rid of some of the pain that got started back when, but all of which brought me to a place of a real good through line. I feel wonderful, really. And the spiritual part, if you want to go into that, is transcendent. It's nothing I've ever known. And it's the most beautiful time I've ever experienced in my life, to be honest. And I talk about it on some of these talks, about the amount of love I'm feeling for life in general, for my wife in particular, for my children, my grandchildren, and for you guys. And it's really profound. I've never known this before. I've felt it before for moments, but I've never had it be such an overwhelming constant. And I don't hold on to it because I don't think it's what's wanted. I just walk around in a state of surrender, really, which is what I've been taught. And the teaching is working. And the good thing about it is, if I report on it to you and everybody know about it, then you know you can do it. And it's doable. I mean, if I can have these relational moments, or whatever you want to call them, in this awakening experience, then it's there for all of us. And I am so just grateful, hour by hour. I mean, the gratitude just washes over me, and I cannot express enough love. If you were sitting here, you'd be getting it all day long. And kind of interesting. And so I'm good. That's my long answer to a short question. Mm-hmm. Anybody else? Okay. Thank you for showing up. Thank you for being here. I will see you in the new year. And I really hope you guys get through this coming period. It'll be a few months long, and we all have to do our own inner work to ride it out. But again, if you have problems or you need connection or anything, get a hold of me, okay? You all know where to get me. I really love you. Thank you for being there.